You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. John Scott, the All-Star.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dropping the Gloves. I'm very happy, as you can hear with the inflection of my voice. I'm very happy to have everyone joining us today. I'm live in location with Tim's house again. It's great to be here, Tim.
It's two in a row.
I dropped the kids off at school at 7 a.m., 7:15, and then I have all the time in the world. And I just like, I shoot Tim a text, "You up?" And he's like, "Come on over, baby." It's the opposite of a 2 a.m. you up. It's a, let's get to work. Let's do this. So I'm here. Do you shower every morning?
Yeah.
What time do you wake up?
6:30, 7.
Shower right away? Or do you eat first?
I shower first.
Brush your teeth?
Yeah.
I forgot to brush my teeth this morning. I just remembered that.
But this morning, I haven't done any of that. I didn't know you were coming over until 10 minutes ago.
I texted you. Anyways, I'm over at Tim's house. It's going to be good. You know what else is good, Tim?
What?
Fantrax. Fantasy hockey. I love fantasy. All kinds of fantasy. Fantasy football. Mostly fantasy football. I'm not going to lie. That's my, in the tiers of fantasy, it goes football, then hockey, then baseball, then basketball, and then college stuff. I just love fantasy football. But I also love fantasy hockey. And if you're into fantasy hockey, you need to go to Fantrax, because Fantrax, it is the most customizable fantasy platform in the industry. And that means in the whole world. It offers the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty, your keeper, your redraft, and best ball leagues. And you know what's funny? I don't even know what best ball leagues are, but they offer the best of the best ball leagues, Tim. Did you know that?
I do now.
I know best ball is in golf, but I don't know what best ball is in Fantrax. Maybe I should go check that out. Anyway, so go to Fantrax. You can create, join a fantasy hockey league. You can move over all of your current fantasy stuff on another platform to Fantrax. So they make it super easy to go over. It's the top dynasty fantasy hockey platform in the industry. If there's anything you're lacking in your current fantasy league, Fantrax likely has it. So go to Fantrax.com, sign up for free. All of this is for free, Tim. It doesn't cost anything. You don't get anything for free these days, except Fantrax. So go to Fantrax.com/DTG. And if that's not sweet enough, you know what else we did? If you go now, Fantrax.com/DTG, you get entered to win an official NHL signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey. You don't just find those every day, Tim. We're not talking some random one out of nowhere. This is an official jersey signed by my friend and yours, Nathan MacKinnon. You got to go to Fantrax, sign up, Fantrax.com/DTG. What do you think, Tim? You going to do it?
Absolutely.
You've already done it. So speaking of Nathan MacKinnon, we did the USA Olympic team last week. We're going to do the Canadian Olympic team right now. And then next week, we'll get on to China and then Germany. We'll just round out that whole group that those four teams are in.
Kazakhstan.
No. It's Canada, USA, Germany, and China. Because China gets an automatic bid because it's being hosted in Beijing. And so the host country gets an automatic bid. And I think, because Canada's rated one in the world, I think USA's rated two or three. Germany's rated five in the world.
No.
Yes, they are. Well, and
there's no way they're ahead of...
Yeah, I know. There's good teams. Finland, Sweden, Russia.
They're ahead of some of those teams?
Apparently they are, because they're rated fifth in the Olympic rankings right now going into Beijing. So it's China, Germany, USA, Canada. Do you think China gets a shot on goal? Honest question.
Yeah, of course.
They played a tune-up where they played Kazakhstan, South Korea, and some other random country. They did not score a goal. They got beat 37-0 in goal differential over those three games. And that's versus South Korea, Kazakhstan, and some other South Indonesian country. They are going to get so embarrassed. It's going to be a national shame. They're not even going to televise the game in Beijing. I wouldn't. Like, there's no way.
Why would they want to be in that division then?
Well, they don't have the option of picking division. I think it's just a free-for-all, ping pong balls out of a hopper. I think that's how they do it. So it's what a tough draw. Like, you're hoping maybe, you know, I pick up like a Denmark or a Norway. Maybe I can get a goal, because that's all. They're just hoping to show up and like just we played okay. They're going to get so throttled. It's going to be embarrassing for China. And China's all about, like, you know, respect and honor and, you know, not being embarrassed. Oof, heads up. China, you're about to get just embarrassed. Like, it's not even kidding. You and I could suit up for Team Canada right now and go out and mop the floor with China. Not even, and that is not an exaggeration. I could take a local Traverse City team and go and just dominate every team in China right now. Don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
It's just incredible.
It's, but if you're a Chinese hockey player, do you even want to be on this team?
No. And they're trying to nationalize people from other countries, like, hey, come and play for Team China, and people are saying no.
You know what it reminds me of is you know, like, every year Vladimir Putin plays in that celebrity game, and you're not allowed to touch him. He has to score in every shot, and if you don't, like, you're in trouble.
You're
like, not a
gulag.
Are in trouble.
And
this is what it sounds like. These guys are gonna get excommunicated out of the country.
Well, people disappear in China. Like, right. It's the real deal over there. So if I'm a Chinese hockey player and, like, hey, whatever your name is, Bill, you made the Olympic team, I'm like, I'm good. I got something that day. You know what I mean? Because what happens if you go out and you play Team Canada and there's a good chance that they could lose 55-0? Like, there's a legitimate chance if Canada's just, you know, feeling a little prickly that day, or someone sticks someone and they're like, oh, you're going to stick me? Guess what? I'm going to put up 8 goals on you if I'm McDavid. You're going to play frisky? Guess what? I'm going to bury you through the ice. And they can. Because Gary Anet, he's never seen a shot from the point from whoever on the, like, any one of the players. Shabbat, if he makes the team. Shabbat Shalom. It's just multinational today, Tim. We're just going all over the world. That's what we're doing. I wonder if people say that to him on the ice. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. That's a Jewish thing. I'm Catholic, but I know all kinds of religions. Judaism, Catholicism. Started with Judaism, now just Catholicism. Anyways, so China's in that division. That's exciting. We did the Team USA, and then Germany's no rollover. They got Dreisaitl. They got a couple other handful of German players.
Like, you think Mo Sider will play on that team?
On what team? China?
Germany.
Is he German?
Yeah.
I thought he was Swedish.
No.
He definitely will. They got Stutzel. They got a good team, German. You know, they ranked 5th in the world for a reason. All right. I don't know how we got there, but we're going to bring it back. We're going to go to Team Canada. Did you get the results from our Team USA team?
Yeah.
Who got the most wins?
I did.
You did.
I did a poll on Instagram and Twitter. I won both of them.
That's so bizarre. How many votes do we get? Like 6?
No, we got a few hundred.
That's such a joke. I wonder what people base that off of.
Just who has a better roster.
Haters going to hate. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. I think the more hate you get, the better you're doing. So I think I'm doing okay.
So all those other polls that I lost, I actually won.
You do a lot of polls. I know that. And yeah, you won. All right. Family show. Let's go. Team, do you want to unveil your show, your team first?
You should go first this time.
Well, the thing with Team Canada is I think everyone's going to have the same roster. The first and second line are pretty much locked in stone, I would imagine, right? And then the third and fourth line, you're going to have some, you know, different players here and there. We'll see how it goes. So I went back and I looked at their 2014 team where they won gold in Sochi. And I was like, okay, what players are we going to roll over from this team? And what I noticed from that team was it was a remarkably older team. They went for experience. They went for guys who have been there before because they just played the year 4 years prior in Vancouver. So they really did roll over a lot of the players. The average age of the team was 30 years old, which, if you look at the players nowadays, that's an old number, because this year's team is not going to be nowhere near 30 years old. They had guys, Marc-Andre or Martin St. Louis, who was 39 years old. You know what I mean? So it was remarkable to look at the ages of these guys. You had Duchesne, Sharp, Marleau, Kunitz, Getzlaff. All these guys are 30 plus years old. Not Duchesne, but the other guys are. Okay, moving on to this year's team. Let's just go each line. So my first line, you got to take the best player in the world, Braden Point, and you're going to put him with McDavid and MacKinnon. That's my first line. The reasoning behind this is all three of these guys are burners. Like, they just... Do you have that line as well, Tim?
That's my first line, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I mean with Canada. They have such... Last year, the top 10 scores, six of them were from Canada. Like, they're just... It's easy to pick the first two lines because there's just six or seven just straight up superstars. Like, this is our team. This is our first line. Nobody can top this. When you compare that to the USA's first line, Patrick Kane and whoever you're going to put with them, Matthews, this first line, you could not even put a guy. Maybe you could take point out and put a guy from another country in. But if you're making a first line all world, every player in the whole world is available, you're still putting McKinnon and McDavid on that team, right?
Yep.
On that line, excuse me. So Point, he just slides right in there. He complements them so well. McKinnon can get up and down the ice. McDavid, everybody knows his speed. I don't think people know how fast Braden Point is. Guy's an absolute burner. He plays a 200-foot game. He goes up and down the ice. He doesn't slack on the back end. Not that he's going to have to, because they're going to spend all of their time in the offensive zone. Is there anything else on this line you want to touch on? Because is there a line in the Olympics better than this line? Maybe Canada's second line is better than this first line.
Maybe not, though. I mean, McDavid and McKinnon were the easy ones for me, and then I kind of bounced around. We'll talk about some more names that could also fit on that line. Honestly, like, any of these players, you could put on that line with them too, but Point was just he excited me the most, putting him with those guys, like you said, for all the reasons you gave. So this would be a good line.
I was thinking about putting Huberdeau there.
Same.
Just because he's a shifty small forward who can produce. He's a really good distributor, and people don't know about Huberdeau. He's just stuck down in Florida, but when you look at his game, when you look at his style, when you look at his stats, he's a consistent superstar.
He's a 90-point player.
Yeah, and he just gets overlooked in Florida for whatever reason, because, you know, no one really looks at Florida. When they think of Florida, they think of Tampa Bay. Oh, Kucherov, Stamkos, all these great players. And it's like, no, the Panthers do have some pretty legit players. But anyways, that's my first line. My second line, we saw them in action in the 2016 World Cup. They dominated. Absolutely. I'm sure this is your second line. Crosby, Marchand, Bergeron.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer. Why would you break these guys up? They have instant chemistry. Crosby and Marchand are from the East Coast. Bergeron's from Quebec. He's very familiar with Marchand, obviously. He plays with them every single day in Boston for the last, what, 5-6 years? So they 7-8 years? I don't even know how long they've been together, but they have chemistry. They can finish each other's
sandwiches.
Duh! Nailed it. But anyways, what else can you say about this line?
Yeah, Bergeron and Marchand have been playing together since 2011, so it's been a long time. And even going back to the 2010 Olympics, Crosby at his peak, this is when he was like a 120-point player every year, out of everyone in Canada that wanted Bergeron on his line. Because, I don't know, because chemistry, because of the way he saw the game and everything like that. So they played together in every, you know, international tournament since, and Marchand fits right in with those guys. So I think that one's probably the only no-brainer on this lineup.
I agree. I think when you're putting this team together, that's the one that's set in stone. You leave that line together the whole tournament, you're not going to be disappointed. They're going to be responsible. This is what I think about the Canadian team, that not a lot of other teams have. They play the game at both ends of the ice. Every line has responsible forwards. The first line, McDavid, not so responsible. McKinnon, he's not going to slack off on the back end. Same with Point. The second line, maybe Marchand, but he's a good defensive player.
He's very good.
He's very good. So was Crosby. Bergeron, you know, his namespeak, Mr. Selke. I think when you look at the USA roster, they have a lot of guys who loaf a little bit. You know, the Blake Wheelers, the Austin Matthews, Patrick Kane's never going to be, like, mistaken for a defensive player. Canada is so balanced. They have so many forwards who are just complete forwards. They have forwards relieving off of this list who are just Selke finalists. Like, all great, great hockey players, and we'll get to them in a second. My third line, I had to put Mitch Marner on the team. I had to. He's just so silky. As much as he sucks in the playoffs, as much as he just disappears, Casper the Friendly Ghost, where did you go? Mitch Marner, where, oh, where are you? Where's Waldo? I don't know where you are. I had to put him on the team. He's so good. And if you put him with skilled players like we have seen in Toronto, he excels. And hopefully he can get over those, you know, goosebumps about the playoffs, and he can kind of just play good because the pressure's not on him. You know, he's going to be a third, fourth line guy. He's going to get 10 to 12 to 13 minutes a night, and he just goes out there and has fun. If he plays bad, no one's going to care because they're still going to win. So I got Mitch Marner. I got Mark Scheifele. And then I got Jonathan Huberdeau. Is that your third line as well?
No. Oh. It's very close. I have Huberdeau and Marner on the wings, but I went with Stamkos in the middle.
Stammer! Okay. I can see that. Why Stamkos and not Scheifele?
Well, honestly, Scheifele wasn't even on my list. I was, if anything, I would have put Tavares ahead of him on that line. But then I was kind of, and I love the idea of like putting line mates together on these teams.
Agreed.
But Marner and Tavares, as good as they've been in the regular season, there's not really any reason to keep them together. So yeah, I just Stamkos was kind of just the best. It was hard because you got Scheifele, you got Giroux, you got Barzal, Tavares, Horvat, all these great centers. I went with Stammer for his. I mean, he's on a roll right now. Two cups in the last 2 years. So
no, one cup. He wasn't a part of that first cup.
Yeah, he was.
He played one shift and scored one goal, and he just said, "Shut her down. I'll see you at the parade." So no, he was not part of that cup. That was Kucherov's cup. That was Point's cup. That was Killorn's cup. That was Hedman's cup. Stamkos was not a part of that cup.
Go tell those guys that Stamkos wasn't part of that team.
Well, I won't, but everybody in the world thinks it, and then all of a sudden you pick him on the Olympics. He's like, oh, he's a major factor of that cup. Not a chance. I like him. I have him on the team as a reserve only because Cooper is the coach. And he's going to, you know, a little bit of nepotism doesn't hurt anybody. He's going to keep Stamkos because he likes the guy. He knows how he is in the locker room and he's familiar. Stamkos has been around the international game for a long time. He knows these guys. He's played with them, so he knows what he's getting himself into. But I think Scheifele, when you look at it today, Scheifele's a better player than Stamkos. He facilitates the play more. He gets up in the ice, down the ice more. He doesn't get injured. Well, a couple head bonks here and there, but, you know, that's between friends. But I like my third line. Scheifele, Huberto, Marner. Fourth line. I went shutdown / offensive line with my fourth line. What's so funny?
I did too. We'll see. If they're exactly the same.
Well, it's O'Reilly at center. How can you beat Ryan O'Reilly at center of your fourth line? What other guy would you have there? Like, he's just a lockdown guy. And then I have a guy in the right side who I don't like, and it was tough to put him on the team. And you got him too, Mark Stone.
Yep.
Can't stand the guy, but he's a good player. He's a first line player on any team in the NHL. But he's responsible defensively. He's so responsible. He's hard to play against. He's got the dumbest haircut in the league. He's on my right side on the fourth line. On my left side, I got Barzal. He's a burner, just busting up and down the ice. Not so responsible, you know, defensively maybe, but when you got O'Reilly and Stone, he moves the pack. Flip it out in the neutral zone, he'll go and get it. Dump it in the corner, he'll go and get it. He'll be so jacked up, he's going to be banging bodies down there. I like that fourth line. I thought about putting some other guys there, maybe a Taylor Hall if he's healthy, maybe a Sean Couturier. We'll see how it goes, but I like Barzal. That's my fourth line.
Mine's very similar. I have O'Reilly in center, Mark Stone on the right wing, and the left wing I actually went with Couturier because I'm thinking, like, there's not going to be a harder line to play against in the entire tournament than that one. Shut down, but underrated offensive production. I really want to figure out how to get Barzal in that lineup, but I went with those three.
Yeah, I just think when you have Barzal there, if Huberto doesn't produce, if Marner doesn't produce, you can just slide Barzal up to that line. But you can say that with Stone. You can say that with O'Reilly. Any one of these players can move to any line, and it would be seamless. That's the beautiful thing with Canada's lineup. There's no, like, their fourth line is just stocked with first-line talent. So, and we say it every year, Canada has a luxury of picking just nothing but all world players, and that's just how it rolls. You know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Canada has top end talent at every position in the forward group. I think our strength is up front, without a doubt. If we're going to lose this tournament, it's going to be on the back end. It's going to be between the pipes. That's my opinion. We're going to score a boatload of goals. We're going to get the puck, we're going to drop it, and we're going to say, let's go. The Olympic ice, people think the Olympic ice is more conducive to offense. It's not. It's more conducive to defensive trap-like systems. People don't want to overextend themselves. They get nervous on the Olympic ice, so they tighten up the box, and they let you skater on the perimeter. So to beat that, you got to get guys off the rush. You got to get guys, you know, chip it out, chip and chase, and you got to get that puck, and you got to make plays off of the rush, and Canada has that. If they do get set up in a neutral zone, in a defensive zone kind of system, they still have skill to beat that, but they have guys who can skate. And you can't compete with speed, and Canada has that. I don't think any other team in the world can compete with Canada's speed. My opinion.
You're probably right.
Some guys we left off. My reserves are Bo Horvat, big body. If you do get into a battle with a team that's just, you know, pushing you around a little bit, trying to bully you, you throw Bo in there. Bo knows hockey, and Bo knows had to be physical. And then I got Stammer, like I said, just because of John Cooper, Mellencamp. He is his guy. He's going to make the team. It is what it is. So here's my caveats. some guys that could make the team, and this team will switch throughout the season. You'll see guys will get injured, guys will be in funks, other players will step up. What if Lafreniere all of a sudden lights it up? You maybe throw him on just to get him some experience. Jonathan Toews, Captain Canada, he's coming back from his illness. No one knows how he's going to play. If he comes back and just is Jonathan Toews of old, I'm slotting him in my fourth line centerman. I'm taking O'Reilly out and putting him on the wing. I'm going Toews, Stone, O'Reilly. That's my fourth line. What? You don't like that?
I mean, I would love to see it, but how, what are the chances of that happening?
Pretty good. If he comes back and he's healthy and he's putting up going to average 60, 70 points, I'm putting him on fourth line, without a doubt. And I'm giving him an A, and I'll see you at the gold medal ceremony.
Who's your captain?
My captain right now is Crosby. Yeah, and that's the thing. If Toews comes, that could maybe, we'll see. It's Crosby or Toews. There's another guy who is a question mark. Well, Tyler Seguin. What if he comes back and he's just a Tyler Seguin of old and he's just ripping up and down the ice? I'm putting him on the first line instead of Point.
Ooh.
I'm going McDavid, MacKinnon, Point. Another caveat, what if Zach Hyman is lighting it up with McDavid in Edmonton and they're just setting the world on fire? Are they going to do what they do with Crosby and put Kunitz? Remember they put Crosby and Kunitz together?
Yep.
Do you do McDavid and Hyman? I don't think it'll happen, potentially.
You never know.
They like to keep line mates together, like you said. That could be something we could watch for. There's other guys. Gallagher, does he even, you know, move the needle at all? I don't know. There's other guys. Taylor Hall, if he comes back healthy. But I think this... I didn't have Tavares on my team. I think he's, you know, coming back from injury, much like Sagan, much like Hall, much like Johnny Toews. I don't trust him. I don't
Hall trust him. And Barzal are my two extras.
Yeah, they rhyme. That rhymes. That's fun. I like that. I like rhyming words. All right, let's see. The defense. This is where it gets a little more fuzzier. I think we'll have some similar picks, but there's not a lot of guys who are locks on the back end. On the front end, you could arguably say 7 to 8 guys are locks. MacKinnon, McDavid, Point, Marchand, Crosby, Bergeron. I would say Huberdeau's a lock. I would say O'Reilly's a lock. Those guys were locked in. And then maybe the other ones you can fill in. You can move some pieces around. But you didn't have much flexibility. It's more of like who's going to play with who on the front end. Excuse me. The back end is where it gets a little tricky. So I want you to go first. I think our first pairing is going to be the same, you know, but we'll see where it goes. I know you have just a love fest for a few guys, so I know they're going to be on the team, and rightfully so. So go ahead, Tim. Look, first question. Canada likes to go left-right. They like to keep the guys on their right hand. They don't like to go right-right, left-left. Did you go left-right, or did you go rogue and put – because Canada is super-duper strong on the right side. That's what I think. They got Pietrangelo, Makar, Hamilton, Doughty, Ekblad, Parenko, Burns, Pulock. They got a lot of heavy, big guys on the right side who can move the puck. Did you go left-right?
I did, actually.
Me too.
Yep.
Because I know that's what Canada is going to do. All right, let's see. Who did you take for your first deep pairing? They're dropping the puck versus Team China. They're chirping back and forth. Who's going to be beacon the Chinese defenseman from Canada?
Cale Makar is going to be the guy.
He's your
Team
first
Canada's
line.
Defense.
Interesting.
Yep. And then he's going to be playing with Shea Theodore.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The left right there. I think Theodore is one of the most complete young defensemen in the game right now. I mean, you throw around the other names like Quinn Hughes or Heiskanen and even Charlie McAvoy. I think Theodore is just as good as, if not better than, a lot of these guys when you're talking like a complete game, offense, defense, everything, special teams. So, yeah, and he's just solid and reliable. So, Makar and Theodore are my top pairing.
Why not go Pietrangelo and Theodore? Is it Theodore? It's Theodore.
I don't know.
It's Theodore. He's not French. I don't think he is. Why not go Pietrangelo and Theodore from Vegas? Obviously, spend some time together. Familiar. You seem to be for that in the forward crew. Why not do that in the back end?
I got to have Makar in my top. He needs to log those minutes for me.
Yeah, but you can still have Pietrangelo and Theodore as your second pairing.
Because I want... That's just what I did. I don't know.
It's just a question. You don't have an answer for it. Just, you could say I want Makar and Theodore because they're burners. I have Makar with Theodore. That's my second pairing, though. And I put those two guys together because I'm like, okay, they're going to quarterback both power plays. I got Makar running one power play. I got Theodore running the other power play. And then I have four forwards surrounding them. So that's my second pairing. I just think they're going to be great. They're going to get up in the play. They're going to do what they do. They're not strong defensively by any means, but we don't have to play defense.
Makar is...
He's not good defensively. No, you're crazy. Compared to who? Who is he good to compare? Like, he's not strong. If you look at Makar and you are listing off his traits, defensive responsibility is not one of his traits.
Yeah, it is. Because of the way he skates, like, he's not as strong as some of the other guys, but he doesn't need to be.
Scott Niedermeyer. Scott Niedermeyer had an instinct in the back end. He just knew how to play the game. Makar is all over the place.
I'm going to talk about Scott Niedermeyer in a second.
Good. I teed you up. Talk about him now.
No, let's keep going.
All right. My first pairing, I got Peter Angelo and Shalom Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.
Ooh.
I like that. They're both big bodies. They can move the puck. Peter Angelo's, he's been there before. He's the only holdover from 2014. When he was there, he was a kid. He was 24 years old. He was learning the ropes from the big guys, the Webbers, the Ham Huses, the Keith, the Bomeisters. He's back. He's going to have an A on his sweater, maybe a C, probably an A. He's going to be the guy who holds the fort with this young defensive core. This group, they're going to need him to kind of right the ship. They're going to look to him when things get serious, when they need a shift, when they're up a goal with 1 minute to left and the other team pull their goalie, which I don't think is going to happen. I think they're going to blow out every team in this tournament. He's the guy you're going to put on the ice. And Shabbat, no one knows him too much because he's kind of tucked away in Ottawa. He's a good defenseman. I think you put him with Peter Angelo, very responsible, left, right. They're going to be great. It's a no-brainer. Shabbat Shalom and Peter Angelo, it's my first pairing. Who's your second? So that's my first. Who's your second?
My second pairing is Petrangelo. That's how you say it. With Morgan Riley.
I didn't put Riley on my team. That was a controversial
pick.
Huh?
Yeah, Shabbat's not on my team.
You picked Shabbat. You did not pick. What is your reasoning for picking Riley over Shabbat Shalom?
I think the points production. You know, the offensive game is just there with Riley more than Shabbat. Like, the numbers he's putting up. It wasn't easy. I'm not that excited about... Even though Riley's on my second pairing, I think he was probably the last defenseman I picked. And I'll get into the third pairing next.
And you put him on your second pairing as your last defenseman picked?
Yeah.
That's interesting. There's so many other defensemen you could have picked over him. I don't understand. And the points production for Riley, he is lucky enough to ride shotgun to maybe a top three offensive talent forward-wise in the whole NHL.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's driving the offense in Toronto. He chips the puck to Marner, Matthews, Willie Nylander, Johnny Tavares, and he gets an apple. So I don't look at the numbers too much with Riley just because he is lucky enough to play with those guys. I think Shabbat, he's just a better player at this point in his career. Riley is more, I don't know, he's a good player, don't get me wrong. But I think Shabbat brings more to the table than a Morgan Riley.
I would rather have Riley running my power play than Shea Theodore.
I didn't say either of them were going to run the power play. Well, I did. Yeah. Theodore is going to be on my second power play unit. Really? You'd have Riley over Theodore? Well, that's where we differ. So I have Peter Angelo, Shabbat. You have Peter Angelo and Riley.
Riley.
All right. My third pairing,
second pairing.
Yeah. My third pairing. I'm moving on to third.
No, you haven't done your second yet.
I did my second. Makar and Theodore.
You haven't done that. Okay.
I did. You pay attention, Tim. Wakey, wakey. Unbelievable. Because you said you had him as your first, and I said I had him as my second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It happens every episode, everybody. You can write in. Write at droppingthegloves.com/Tim. And you'll get right to Tim. My third pairing, you know, I went back and forth with this. I love Drew Doughty. He is in my third pairing if he starts the season like the Drew Doughty a decade ago. That's my caveat. Right now, if I'm making the team right now, I got Dougie Hamilton and Darnell Nurse. I went for size. I went for intimidation factor. Dougie Hamilton moves the puck well. He averages 40 points a year, which is good for a defenseman who does it all. He is an all-facet defenseman. He kills penalties. He can play on the power play if he wants to. But Makar, Theodore, not going to kill many penalties. Peter Angelo, you know whose phone that was, everybody? That was Tim's.
I don't think they heard it.
And that's his phone again, ringing through his computer. It's endless. Endless, just not professional at all. Anyways, my third pairing, I went Dougie Hamilton. He's 6'6", 200-some pounds, moves the puck well, skates like an old Larry Robinson, moves around the ice really, really well. Then you got Darnell Nurse. this guy's going to carry the luggage. He's going to carry the bags from the bus. He's going to do the hard things. He's going to make the forward stepping across the blue line of opposing teams maybe second guess a little bit. He's going to maybe make them check up a little bit before they maybe cross that blue line. If you have no fear factor, if you're on the other team and you're throwing these world-class forwards at us, you're in trouble. You need a Scott Stevens. You need a guy who's going to maybe bury someone once in a while. Not every game, not every shift, once in a while. Just lower the boom. So if you're Ovechkin, if you're Austin Matthews, if you're Gary from China, you're going to second guess yourself crossing that blue line. So I got Darnell Nurse to fill that role. I thought about Jacob Chychrun just because he's an unbelievable defenseman from Arizona. He is another big body. But I went Hamilton and Nurse for my third pairing. My fill-ins, because in the international game, you dress 7 defensemen and you dress 13 forwards. So they actually dress 22 players. So my 7th defenseman they dress is Jacob Chychrun, and then I got Drew Doughty as my fill-in. So my third pairing, Hamilton Nurse, my 7th guy is Chychrun, and my fill-in is Doughty, who's just going to be getting lit up in the press box, just sake bombs left and right, because he knows he's not getting in. The chances of anybody getting injured is slim to none, and Drew's just going to go collect his gold medal, and he's just going to be having a good time in China. Lights out, China. Who's your third pairing, Tim?
My third pairing, similar. I have Hamilton there, too, for all the reasons you gave him.
Dougie!
I won't get into that. And I think Hamilton's actually running my second power play unit. But I went with a name on the third pairing that we haven't said yet.
Let me guess.
Thrown up at all.
I don't know.
Adam Pellick.
He's got a heavy shot.
He's got a heavy shot, but he's arguably the best shutdown defenseman in the game of hockey right now. And I wanted one of those in this lineup. We don't really have one. Like, all these guys are offense first. Hamilton's probably the most. Hamilton, Petrangelo, they're pretty complete players. But Pellick, I just want one guy that's going to just lock things down.
I thought McCarr's good in his own end.
He is good, but you shut that down, so I'm not getting back into it. Pellick is the guy on the back end. So, yeah, he's not as mean as like a Nurse probably, but just watching him play in the playoffs last year, and I saw it firsthand. It's just, I wanted one of those guys in my lineup. And then my extras would be Doughty and Nurse.
And you saw that in 2014 Olympic run when they had Weber. They had Hamhuis. They had Vlasic. Even a Bomeister was a shutdown guy. What are you smiling at?
Let me read you. Okay, so we talked about Team Canada's probably the defense is going to be their weak spot if they have one.
Yes.
Not that these guys aren't great players, but that's sort of the...
If there is a weak point, the Achilles heel, it will be the back end.
Let me read you Team Canada's defense in 2010.
Okay? I have it right here. It's Keith, Hamhuis, Weber, Doughty,
No, that's
Bomeister.
2014.
Oh, sorry. Who's 2010?
2010. Dan Boyle, Drew Doughty, Duncan Keith, Scott Niedermeyer, Chris Pronger, Brent Seabrook, Shea Weber.
It's pretty good.
Every single one of those guys are probably better than every single one of these guys.
Canada, yeah, that's a legit defense corps.
That's what they were dealing with not even a decade ago. I guess a decade ago. And now it's just like these guys were trying to figure out like any... it's just different.
The game's changed a lot. Everybody skews offensive. And if you're an offensive player, you go and play forward. So it's not sexy to play defense. That's why you have Shabbat Shalom and, you know, Cale Makar and Theodore, and you know it's a very serviceable back end. It's the best back end I think out of all the teams at the Olympics, and you know maybe Sweden's got a pretty good back end as well. Like they're strong back there. If Erik Karlsson shows up and plays at like an Erik Karlsson of old, when you have Hedman, Karlsson, those guys, so we'll see. Finland's always good, Heiskanen and those guys, but I don't know. I think if there's a weakness, it's this. Let's move on to the goalies, and then we'll kind of wrap it all up, put a bow on it, and that'll be that. That'll be Team Canada, then we'll do China next week. Well, we'll do Germany first. I got to do some research on China. I got to do a deep dive.
Yeah, you have some. You got to educate yourself.
I got to figure out. I might be on the team. I don't even know. All right. Goaltenders, pretty straightforward. I think the third position is the only part where you're maybe, do you go with experience like they did in 2014 and bringing along Mike Smith? They obviously went with Bobby Lou, Roberto Luongo, Carey Price. Or do you bring along someone who is younger, who you can just show the bright lights, the big stage, and then you can hand them off the keys to the Corvette in 4 years? Because I don't think Carey Price or Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be around in 4 years to play. They're getting a little long in the tooth. This is their final show. Who are you going to bring along in the third pairing? Because I got Carey Price as my starter. I got Fleury as my backup. Those two guys are going to dress every single game. My third guy is Darcy Kuemper. I like him. He's a good goaltender. He gets unnoticed in Arizona a little bit. I think he's a good good goaltender. Excuse me. I thought of Binnington. I thought of Hart. I bounced around a few others' names, but I think Darcy Kuemper is a good goaltender to kind of fill that need. He does have some experience. He is young. You can count on him to kind of being there in 4 years. Hart has just been a head case last year. I don't know. And mind you, this will change throughout the year how guys start the season and stuff. And Binnington, I just don't like Binnington. It's personal for me. I took that personal. And so that's why he's not on my team. You know when you just see a guy and you don't like him?
Yeah.
I'd never met him. I've never been around him in my whole life. I've never heard a word about Jordan Binnington.
He rejected coming on the show.
Did he?
Yeah. Like a year ago.
Well, there you go. See, even more reason not to like him. Who rejects coming on our show? Everybody.
He's like, yeah, he sounds fun, just not for me, thanks. And that was it.
Good. More for us. See ya, Jordan. So you're not on my Olympic team now. All right, who do you have on the back end? Is it the same? Is it different?
It's flipped. I got Fleury and Price, but Fleury's my starter. Price right behind him, obviously. My third guy I'm carrying around is Carter Hart. And it depends on what we see from him, because the last year and a half, he's just been nothing compared to what he was when he first came up. But if he's on, he's one of the top 3-5 goalies in the league, in the world. And
say these things.
When he was on, look at his stats. He was arguably the best in the league at that point.
He had like a good 10-20 game run where he was really good.
So if he's that again,
Vasilevsky, is he better than Hart?
Yes.
Hellebuck.
See, we can do this all day.
Best three, he's one third of the best goalie on his team.
Three of when he was on, he hasn't been on for 18.
So he was on
months.
For a month and a half, and now he's been off for his life.
Just let me have my thing, John.
Sure. Can't we have nice things? All right, go ahead.
I have nothing else to say. Carter Hart's my third.
If he starts the season and he is playing well, which I doubt he will, yes. He can be your third. I will allow it.
Thank you so much.
But I do think Darcy Kuemper is better. I think he fills out that third spot. Not that they're going to see any ice time. It's much like the Drew Doughty for the eighth defenseman. They're just going to go along for the ride. Mike Smith won a gold medal. Never dressed. Didn't even see the ice. Saw the ice in practice. Like, that's what you're going to go for. You're going to go for the experience. You're going to go eat some sushi, drink some sake. That's it. That's your Olympics. Well, hopefully COVID will be gone by then. You can go out and enjoy the countryside. But
those were both Japanese things.
Sake and sushi are Japanese.
Yeah.
So if I go to China, there's not going to be a drop of sake or any sushi in the whole island.
I know what you were doing.
China's not island? An island. I know. In the whole country.
Yeah. Which,
it's a big old country. Speaking of sushi, what if I wanted to get some sushi right now, Tim? What would I do?
You'd be out of luck, probably.
Ding dong! DoorDash is here to save the day again. If I want sushi, I go to DoorDash.com. Don't enter any promo code because they don't like our promo code. But go to DoorDash. Get yourself some sushi. Get yourself some sake. Get yourself some soy sauce. Low sodium. Good for the heart. And then just gorge on sushi. Apparently, it's from Japan. I don't know, but do it. Go to DoorDash. Tell them we sent you somehow. Shoot me an email. I don't know how it works, but anyways, I use DoorDash. Tim uses DoorDash. I like eating there. It's very, very convenient. Check it out on your app, on the computer, DoorDash.com. Tell them we sent you from Dropping the Gloves somehow. Right, Tim?
Yes.
Is there any other news, Tim, that we need to touch
on?
Yeah,
I want to touch on it. So we talked the other day about the Senators GM, Dorian, making these comments about time to win is now.
Wee, Pierre.
Yeah, so Connor McDavid made some similar remarks yesterday that I wanted to just touch on and get your thoughts on. I don't think you've read this yet. He's interviewed and he said, I definitely think the time is now. The old excuse that we're young guys is no longer. For us as a group, I think the time is now to really start pushing this thing. So this guy, all right, how many playoff series do you think he's won?
Zero.
He's one in 6 years. He talked about that he's encouraged by the roster moves they made, and I'll get into those in a second. But first, what are your thoughts on those comments?
How can you be encouraged? Yeah, we'll get those in a second. I think it's the stereotypical thing. You have to say that. You can't say, like, you know, we're still building. It can't be like the Philadelphia 76ers. Trust the process. You know, it's going to pay off. We're going to, one day we'll get there. No, there has to be a limit. There has to be an end date. And the Oilers are a lot further along than the Ottawa Senators are. So Pierre Dorion makes this comment, and they're literally 2 years into their build, 3 years. The Oilers have been in this for 7-8 years now. Like, this has been a long time coming. They've had Nail Yakupov, Taylor Hall, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Connor McDavid. All of these young players have been number one overall. Drysdale, you mix him into that. The time was 2 years ago. Now the clock is like Cinderella. She's, you know, the glass slipper's gone. Like, it's time. Like, I don't know what. Yes, I like the comments. I don't understand why he's so happy, and he has to say that. I like the moves we made. Behind closed doors, he's like, what the hell are we doing here? Why are we getting these players? I don't understand what's going on. We lose Larson, we bring in Keith. Same price, and you're not getting a better defenseman. You're getting older, you're getting worse. That doesn't make any sense. We bring in Zach Hyman, who's not exactly going to help us that much. Maybe he's going to ride shotgun to me, and I'm going to drag him along to 80 points. Good for him. Doesn't help the team very much. We need secondary scoring. I'm going to do my thing. You can put Joe Schmo next to me, and I'm going to be the best player in the world. So, I don't know. What, you were going to mention the moves they made and why he's so happy. Why don't you tell me?
Yeah, you touched on them all pretty much already, but they re-signed Tyson Barrie and Darnell Nurse. They signed Zach Hyman. They signed Hall, the defenseman. They traded for Duncan Keith, obviously, and they traded Ethan Bear for Warren Fogle. So, are they a better team?
No.
Maybe a little?
No. No, not even a little. They're worse.
Why are they worse?
Do you think that we are going to get the same Mike Smith we got last year?
They do.
Who had a career year at 37 years old.
39.
39 years old, excuse me, even worse. Do you think he's going to replicate last year? Not a chance in the world. Not a chance. He's going to, if he even is a fraction of that, they're happy. So their goaltending is going to be worse. Their back end is way worse. Ethan Bear was a good young defenseman. Adam Larson was a great defenseman. He was a shutdown guy. His stats are through the roof when it comes to 5-on-5 in his own zone. He's a good defensive defenseman. You bring in Duncan Keith, who's probably 39 himself, 38, 39. Can't move the puck like he used to. Okay in the defensive zone. Nah, not, you know, same price as Larson. And you re-sign Tyson Barrie, you re-sign Darnell Nurse. How can you be better on the back end when you lose Larson, you lose Bear, and you bring in Duncan Keith? How is that a thing? It's not possible. So you're worse on the back end. You're worse between the pipes. And on the front end, you bring in Zach Hyman and Fogle, McLovin. I don't see that being just such a vast improvement over the forwards they had the year before. Your worst team.
Does this group make the playoffs?
It depends on how Vancouver does.
Do they win a playoff round?
No. No. No, not a chance. Not a chance. And he'll be having the same conversation in his stall after the season. He'll go, I'm tired of this. We need to, you know, we got to be better. We got to bear down. I don't know what to do. And he's going to bite his tongue trying to carve the GM Holland. What he really wants to say is, this son of a gun has not surrounded me with any kind of talent. It's me and Leon, and that's it. Or Lionel. What's his name?
Leon Draisaitl.
Leon. I mean, there was a store in Canada called Leon's. I think they went out of business. But, yeah, it's just the same old story there. They're never going to learn their lesson. They're never. They should have just went after, trade Nugent Hopkins, got Johnny Gaudreau, and signed another top and forward. Just go for it. Stupid Holland, man. Just unbelievable. Anyways.
It's so easy.
I should be a GM. I just don't want to leave Traverse City. That's my problem. That's the story of my life. I get offered all kinds of jobs and engage. Did you see the email I got the other day? John, I have a very exciting opportunity for you. I'm like, no, I'm okay.
Which one was that?
They're coming at me like left and right. It's unbelievable. It's like I got an email from a prince in Africa. I just have to send him $10,000 and he gives all this gold he needs to give me. But anyways, shame on Edmonton. I know Gregor's probably losing his mind over there too. He's Daily Faceoff. Good podcast. Check it out. Probably the second best hockey podcast going, behind ours, obviously. What else is in the news, Tim?
A couple of quick hits. Tyler Bozak signed a 1-year extension with the Blues, worth pretty much the league minimum, $750,000.
Yeah, he'll be good there. Good depth forward.
35 years old. Kirill Kaprizov still hasn't signed. A contract negotiation with the Wild are quote-unquote pretty slow right now. So Guerin made some comments about, you know, the player's doing what he thinks is best. We're still confident the deal will get done. But training camp starts next week, and he's still unsigned. And it's going to bring up some question marks, right?
Well, there's a lot of RFAs who haven't signed yet, right? There's Kaprizov, there's Tkachuk, there's Pettersson, there's a couple other guys who haven't signed yet. So I love Billy Guerin. I love what he's done in Minnesota. I like that he's just, you know, stating a fact. He's like, yeah, if he doesn't want to be here, he doesn't have to be here. Whatever. He's not going to kowtow to Kirill Kaprizov, who's been in the league for 1 year, and just kind of throw a boatload of money at him. It sets a bad standard, bad precedent for the team and for everybody in general. So I like Billy Grant. He's doing what he has to do to protect the Minnesota Wild. It's not about one player. It's about the whole team, the whole enchilada.
Yeah, so the unsigned RFAs, Kaprizov, Quinn Hughes, Tkachuk, Darlene, Elias Pettersson, have kind of a top five there. They're the superstars of the group. Do you think we see any more offers?
I think you would have seen them already. I think if you were to throw an offer, most teams can match, like Buffalo can match, Ottawa can match. Vancouver would be the one. If I was going to go offer an offer sheet, I'd offer Pettersson, because Vancouver is in a little trickier salary cap situation. Yes, they might be able to match if they, you know, move some things around, but that is the team who is the most vulnerable right now. Like, the other teams have enough money to match whoever offers them a contract, but I don't think we see anything. No, I think that window is closed. You know, there was the Kotkaniemi. We got some excitement. That was fun, but I think we'll see what happens. These young guys, I think, are going to get slapped in the face with the reality. It's like, I should probably sign, or I'm not going to play this year. I don't know. Good for the GM sticking to their guns.
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone, too, that you can call into the show. We had a few last week that have been trickling in. Call 617-657-4723. Ask a question. Tell a story. Disagree with something we say. Tell John to ease up on me. Whatever you want to say. Leave your name. It's like leaving a voicemail after the beep. And we'll probably include it on the show. So go ahead and do that. John, anything else you want to touch on here?
Well, I just think we should all go to Fantrax. And let's play fantasy hockey together. We're going to send out a tweet or an Instagram post or something. I'm going to do another fantasy league on Fantrax. I'm going to give the winner of the league maybe a autographed John Scott jersey. Something fun. I'll figure it out, but we'll get some nice swag. It was kind of sad last year we did the fantasy thing, and I won the whole thing. So I gave myself this great prize. So this year,
bought a nice dinner.
I bought myself a heck of a dinner. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll do that. Go to fantrax.com/DTG. Get yourself signed up. I'm going to set up a league. We'll do a fantasy hockey thing. Honestly, I'm not just blowing smoke up your behinds. Go to Fantrax. It's the best fantasy option out there for fantasy hockey, fantasy football, baseball, whatever. Get there. Tell them we sent you. Fantrax.com/DTG. And then just have yourself a nice little Wednesday, everybody. That's it. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.